We are Rogue Media Sports.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
Is this house a good price compared to others in the area? Are prices going up or down? If I don't make an offer right this very moment, will I miss my chance? These are just some of the questions a home buyer might ask. And these are the sorts of questions an agent who is a Realtor can help answer. Because Realtors have the expertise, data, and access to specialty training to help you navigate the process of buying a home. They provide support, guidance, and have your back every step of the way. That's what Realtors do, because that's who we are. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
It is the Doomsday Podcast. And Ed Werder.
We saw fans holding those letters up here today, almost in protest or anticipation of the Doomsday Podcast. You know, that group of people always on the big screen here at Jerry World. They were holding up letters that said Doomsday.
I know.
They were podcast
fans. Those are those Mavs male dancers, the main Mavs maniacs, and they're big fans of our podcast. And we'll have Stretch along before too long. But Ed, happy Thanksgiving to you. And you were down here much earlier than I was, as is always the case. And you were down there gathering nuggets before the game. What you did not see, Ed, was some turkey legs being hidden in the kettles. The Salvation Army red kettles in preparation of Dolly's appearance and everything. And Ed, that ended up being kind of a fun thing at the end of the game. Did you see any hijinks going on when you were having your pregame conversations?
I didn't know that they were concealing turkey legs and that they were going to break them out at a certain point in the game. Apparently this idea started with Jake Ferguson, and it became very popular with the players and gained a lot of momentum. And then I think Dak said after the game, he took the idea to McCarthy to make sure it was okay with him. And at that time, McCarthy happened to be talking to Jerry here today at the stadium pregame. And of course, Jerry loved the idea. So now what can McCarthy do, right? He's the starting quarterback and his owner want to do this. And so he approved it, provided, of course, the right circumstances were in play. The Cowboys had clinched the game, which clearly they had. But no, I did not. Although I was standing with Tad Caper.
Yeah, the
PR director.
PR man.
And Scott Agolnik, his assistant, came up at one point with a phone, and he said, yeah, I've got it set up. And he looked at me kind of oddly, and I knew something was going on that I was not supposed to be made aware of in full. And apparently it was that thing. But one of the things that did happen, and that's, I think this is when the turkey legs came out, if I'm not mistaken. But one of the things that did happen was I saw Al Harris. He's a cornerbacks coach, and he walks the field, former player for McCarthy and Green Bay, outstanding cornerback himself, has helped develop Trayvon Diggs into an all-pro. And today predicted to me before the game that this was the game that Deron Bland was going to get his fifth pick six of the season and set the NFL record.
Wow.
He told me today before the game started, he thought it would happen against Washington and Sam Howell, who leads the NFL in interceptions and had a pick six last week. And so he was right. Deron Bland goes into the NFL record book, into the kettle, onto Canton. Turkey legs abound. But I did not know that in advance. I missed that somehow.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you were down there, and Sam Howell tried to make a tackle. That went poorly, about as poorly as you would think, but that was the most drama this game had, quite honestly, to me, because he then had to fake out. I think that was former Alabama running back Brian Robinson down there trying to make a tackle, and there was one other player, and those were great fakes Bland made, both on the quarterback and then another fake to get in for the pick six, and the place went crazy. That was a lot of fun. It is the Doomsday Podcast. It's Thanksgiving night. Chris Gross, please play the music. It is the Doomsday Podcast. Ed Werder, Matt Mosley, and we're in a beautiful suite high above the field at AT&T Stadium. And as we do, as we tape the podcast, the aftermath of the Cowboys 45-10 victory, it's hard for me to even know the score because it seemed like it was 20-10 for a long time, right? The Cowboys didn't score in the third quarter. It's like, did they really score 45 points? But they did. They scored like 25 mm-hmm. points in the fourth quarter and ended up winning 45-10. As we tape this, it's also the aftermath of the Dolly Parton, her halftime performance. And Dolly, congrats to her. She $1 million donation, Salvation Army. She's awesome.
And 77 years old, the courage to dress up in a modified Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders outfit.
Yeah.
And perform on live national television, one of the biggest television events of the year, in addition to the 100,000 people here watching her house. And, I think –
how was it modified, by the way? It looked like pretty much like a normal.
The pants were just a little longer, okay. And there was some kind of material between the top part of the outfit and the hot pants.
Yeah.
But I do think that Jerry may have been intoxicated on Dolly perfume based on what he said after the game. Or maybe he's just forgotten the 90s rapture of winning Super Bowls, because Jerry said he doesn't know that he's ever had a day like this. And he said, I'll include them all. I'll put Super Bowls in there. I don't know if I've ever had a better day with the Cowboys than today. Now, Jerry, hold on. This was a regular season blowout win against an inferior opponent like we've seen so many times this season. I mean, the Cowboys have set records for how badly they've beaten these terrible teams that they played. They played all of their wins, all of their eight wins have come against teams with losing records. And, I was interviewing Brandon Cooks after the game. And my final question to him was, you guys have won eight games against teams that don't have a winning record. And you've lost to the two teams that did have a winning record that you played. And now you're about to play six straight games against opponents with winning records. And he rolled his eyes and he said, it's time. It's go time.
Yeah.
That's what he said. It's go time. And he's right. We're going to find out in these next 6 weeks a lot more about this team and what it's capable of in the postseason, which is really the only thing that matters at this point. It would be exceptional if they won enough of these games that somehow they dethrone the Eagles and won the division, because this team needs to play at home in the postseason. They've won 13 consecutive games here. Mike McCarthy's made a big point of creating a home field advantage. What have they won? Six games by 20 or more points this season, including every game that they've played here to this point. This is a team that, and they're fortunate that the first two of the games are here. Next Thursday night, they play Seattle, which is going to have a winning record. And the next week they play the Eagles, which has the best record in all of football at 9-1. And Jerry said he thinks the Eagles are the most formidable team in the league from the Cowboys' perspective. But he also said he thinks that there's a handful of teams that have identified themselves, revealed themselves as legitimate Super Bowl contenders, and he includes the Cowboys in that, saying this team is certainly capable of winning the whole thing. And he based that, Matt, when I talked to him, you heard a lot more from him than I did. I caught him in kind of his second round. But he did say, when I asked him about the momentum that they've created, the confidence that they must play with here going into this stretch of difficult games, he said the reason that he thinks that they can succeed is the way Dak Prescott is playing, which may be the best he's played in his entire career, which is quite a statement, and the new energy in the locker room, which he had just left. So we'll see, but I think we're going to learn a lot about this team in the next few weeks.
I think we will, and it's why you and I have tempered things, and people said, I even saw you have to kind of respond on Twitter, even saying, somebody's, because I think I, for some comment I had made on the podcast about Daron Bland, and I mean, the greatness of Daron Bland doesn't matter what quarterback. When you have five pick sixes, it does not matter who's throwing them. I mean, it's pretty amazing. Now, to your point on who they've played, I had who they've beaten this year. 3-8 New York Giants. 3-8 New York Giants. These are the wins. Washington 4-7, now 4-8. New England 2-8. Jets 4-6. Carolina 1-9. Rams 4-6. Chargers 4-6.
And of course, they lost to a bad team in Arizona.
Correct.
In week three. But to be specific about how dominant they've been here against bad teams, they've outscored their opponents at home 205-60. That's a point differential plus 145 at home. And according to the Elias Sports Bureau, that's tied for the second best point differential in any five-game span at home in a season over the last 100 years. Oddly enough, the only team better, the 1966 Cowboys, who won five straight games at home by 148 total points. So the Cowboys are 3 points off that pace, but still just remarkably dominant. And I get the whole, hey, all you can do is play your schedule. And, you know, if these teams you're playing are bad, you know, dispatch them early. And they've done that. They've won convincingly against bad teams. And you can't really fault them for that. What they did against the Cardinals is far worse of an indictment than what they did in winning these five games. You can only play your schedule as presented to you. You can only play that team that you're playing on that particular day and beat them as badly as you can, and credit to them. They have not fooled around with these teams. They've blown them all out, most of them by halftime. Not so today, but Washington's a horrible team. I mean, in all likelihood, Ron Rivera is going to get fired. If he makes it through the season, it's probably just because the new owner, Josh Harris, doesn't want to be put in a position where he would promote Eric Bieniemy, the offensive coordinator, who many think has been wrongly bypassed for head coaching positions in the past. If you make him the head coach now and they have any success, you're going to be forced to keep him as your head coach, whether that you think is your best option or not. But Washington came into this game having, you know, allowed the most points in the NFL, given up the most touchdown passes in the NFL. So I'm not trying to cheapen, you know, Dak Prescott having another 300-yard game with four touchdown passes, with six different players scoring, including a defensive player, Deron Bland. The Cowboys lead the NFL in points scored on defense as well. You know, Deron Bland, one final point on Deron Bland. His five touchdowns in – and they've all occurred this season. He's only played a year and a half. But all of his touchdowns have come this year. That's more than any Cowboys player has had in their entire career. There have been pretty distinguished players in this organization. You would think that somebody who played 10, 12, Everson Walls or whatever, you know, Deion Sanders would maybe have that many over the course of their career. He has that in one season, more than anybody's had in their entire career in Dallas.
Yeah, they stopped throwing at Deion. Everson finished his career elsewhere. So who knows? If he'd have finished it here, maybe he'd have a chance. But five in one season is insane. It is an NFL record. And to your point about the locker room, I was standing down there, and you were too, when Deron and Dak went into the locker room, and you heard an enormous cheer come out of there. And so they're having a big time. McCarthy's having a big time. He's having them, you know, he's letting them eat turkey legs. And that's a, I mean, I guess in some ways somebody might think that's disrespectful to eat a turkey leg during a ball game with about 5.5 minutes left.
Barry Switzer used to eat hot dogs at the Pro Bowl.
Well, that's disrespectful just to even have him at a Pro Bowl for that matter. I did want to say, Ed, Blake Marable Homes, Marable, the big tour of homes in Lake Highlands is happening. You should buy a ticket because his home is on the tour. It's an unbelievable deal. Timeless classic homes, approachable luxury homes, Lake Highlands, Preston Hollow, Park Cities, Lakewood, Forest Hills. I sometimes call it Little Forest Hills. Right over there by the Arboretum, kind of on the way to the Arboretum. Richardson and Cedar Creek Lake. Just some gorgeous homes that are being built. And we love having Marable Homes as part of what we do. I love that. I like an approachable luxury home because I think what we're saying when we say that is while they are big and they're
ostentatious.
Yeah, they're just livable and really awesome looking. And like fit into neighborhoods. What you don't want is like an old neighborhood. It's been around since the, you know, the longest time. In fact, the neighborhood where he kind of got his start building all these homes are where Bob Lilly and Dan Reeves and all those old cowboys, Mel Renfro, all of them lived in Lake Highlands, and that's where he started. And so we love Marable Homes. Now, Ed, the let's stay on the offensive side of the ball for a minute. The, you know, obviously Turpin makes a big play. Cooks, who you talked to after the game, you know, it's sometimes these, there's so many blowouts, it's hard to talk about individual plays, but I do want to talk about that one touchdown, because that was a big one where Cooks just totally, like, that cornerback thought somebody was going to help him over the top. And Cooks put such a move on him that the safety got turned around and Cooks got wide open over there. And so those are the greatest. Now, Dak missed a touchdown to CD
early in the game, first possession,
pretty early in the game.
They started attacking vertically right away.
Yes. I thought the one pass that calmed him down and kind of calmed everything down, that one up the seam to Jake Ferguson, was a really nice play in the game.
Yeah. And I think, you know, Brandon Cooks now has, what, 4 touchdown catches in his last 6 games. So clearly now he's been integrated, you know, properly into the offense. Guy they traded for in the offseason, tried to acquire at the deadline last year. So clearly they marked the right guy. He fits this offense very well. He lends a vertical threat that they've lacked in the past, or much more explosive. And Turpin, the same thing. You know, I think to the credit of Brian Schottenheimer and Mike McCarthy, you know, they really did create a role for him on offense that they didn't have last year. It may be part of it was he played a whole USFL season and, you know, he was tired from that and was just trying to be a kick returner at the time, but clearly is a much bigger role. He's out there frequently now on offense. Dak trusts him as a receiver, and that's huge to me. I just really think they came out of that San Francisco playoff loss last year knowing they went in with, you know, 2 playmakers, one of whom they lost, Tony Pollard at the half, and CeeDee Lamb, who was not used well because he was the focal point of the defensive game plan. And they vowed that they were going to have more playmakers, a more explosive offense, and they've done that this offseason and early in this year. And I think it's taken some time for Dak to feel comfortable in what McCarthy wants to do offensively. And in some ways, what they're doing now almost looks more like what they were doing under Kellen Moore, but nobody seems to refer to it that way. In fact, Dak, after the game today, was talking about his comfort level with Mike McCarthy and how he and McCarthy now think alike. And when they have a big Thursday meeting every week out at the Star to go over the game plan and what Dak likes best and what they want to take out. What does he call it? Play caller's purpose or something like that, that they're very much aligned with what they want to do and what they think will work in a game. And we're seeing the results of it. I mean, Dak Prescott has 300 passing yards and 4 touchdowns in 3 straight home games. You know how many times that's happened in history?
How many?
It's happened with Dak Prescott and Drew Brees in 2013, and that's it. That's it. Dak Prescott had his 8th game with 300 passing yards and 4 touchdowns. That's the most by any Cowboy player in history. And when you think back to when Dak came here, and we all thought he was more of a running quarterback than anything else, he never seemed like a guy who would threaten, you know, the statistical achievements of a guy like Tony Romo, and yet here we are, and he's doing it.
I did see one. I kind of like this today. I saw they said like he was closing in on one of the best quarterback ratings, I believe it was, of all time for the Cowboys. Maybe it's this whole season, right? And the only person that had a better quarterback rating, and back in the day, I never felt like those quarterbacks had good ratings. It was Don Meredith.
It's amazing how many times he's on a list all these years later that somebody's eclipsing. But we all know, and Dak referenced it without saying it. He talked about his big goal, and that's to be on the list with Troy Aikman and Roger Staubach, and that's the one ultimately that will determine, you know, how he's viewed as a quarterback in the NFL, and he thinks that's fair.
Yeah. Before we get to stretch plays, let's update the news. You've had some news along the way, and some of your colleagues have weighed in on Shaq Leonard, who the Colts released, and I think he was very hurt by that in some respects, and has been a great player for the Colts and the Cowboys. While Damone Clark is really good, Marquise Bell
converted safety
has played extremely well and could have had his own pick six today and didn't make the catch. But they've played; those guys have played really well. Rashawn Evans was brought up; they just brought somebody else up. But Cowboys are at least in on Leonard. Jerry wouldn't share a whole lot on that front, other than kind of confirming that they're. But it's also just kind of interesting that the Eagles are taking a peek as well at Shaq Leonard.
Well, because they lost N'Kobe Dean, right? And so there's a potential need there. And, you know, Howie Roseman's a very aggressive general manager in terms of acquiring personnel. We saw him do it at the deadline with Kevin Byard. Obviously, you know, 2 years ago during the draft, he traded for A.J. Brown. So he's acquired some really important pieces. And a lot of people criticize the Cowboys at the trade deadline that all the top contenders in the NFC did something to improve their teams, whether it was the Vikings getting Josh Dobbs or, Chase Young going to the 49ers or Byard going to Philadelphia, and Dallas did nothing. And you know, then they lost Leighton Van Der Esch in the 49ers game. He was their green dot player for Dan Quinn, made the defensive calls, really important guy in the run defense, which is still, I still view it as a liability. If somebody can actually stay in a game long enough to actually try and take advantage of it. I think Shaq Leonard is a player they're interested in. I think that I've been told in talking to people today, and you talk to a lot of people at the stadium on game day, that the defensive coaches have asked the front office to pursue Shaq Leonard. Jerry, as you said, indicated after the game, hey, this is a player we're doing our due diligence on. We're medically researching him. I mean, he's had two back surgeries. If you talk to people, you know, with the Colts, they'll tell you his movement and speed are not the same right now. I was told, quote, he went through hell with those surgeries, but that he's a brilliant guy in terms of, you know, knowing how to play the game, but his speed and movement are not what they were when he was a really unique player and could create a lot of tackles for loss and a lot of turnovers. But I think the Cowboys view him as a good athlete, an instinctive player, a guy who could still run, wasn't a great fit in Indy's new defensive system. And that was confirmed to me by somebody in Indy, maybe lacking some of the special traits that he had early in his career. But a guy who can still help the right team if he's put in the right role, and the Colts were using him on first and second downs. And that's kind of where maybe he would fit here.
All right. It is time for something we do on a weekly basis, and people love hearing it. Boy, he has not been able to really hand out his harsh grades lately because Cowboys have been playing so well. It is Glenn Stretch Smith, and there's a part of this team that he really zeroes in on, and I think you'll appreciate this. It is now time for Stretch Plays.
In the aftermath of the Cowboys, well, it wasn't dominating much of the game, and then suddenly you look up, it's, 45-10 or something. I mean, it's just crazy. They have a way of just kind of burying teams, kind of waited till the fourth quarter, and then they kind of finally put this team away. I'm out at AT&T Stadium. Stretch has taken this in. You know Stretch. You watch him on WFAA on a weekly basis on that sports special. Tonight he's been with family and had a good spread. Stretch, we'll talk about, I mean, Daron Bland, NFL record, incredible ending to this game, some great passes from Dak that kind of ignited things late, all the fun. Dolly Parton, sure you enjoyed Dolly's performance, 77-year-old woman in a Cowboys cheerleader outfit. But Stretch,
I would grade that, Mosley. How would you have graded that?
A plus. My gosh. I mean, it's a remarkable thing what Dolly is doing at a later stage of life. And she is a woman, age just doesn't really have any kind of impact on her. So I give everything about Dolly and A+, and enjoyed watching her this evening. And first Dolly concert I've attended. Stretch, what would you give Dolly?
I mean, it'd probably be E for effort. I mean, she was hanging on to that. She was hanging on to the ledge pretty good. I mean, I'm going to say before she got up there, she might have had her a few, you know, Matt Mosley Tito's and, you know, probably got up there and let it rip. So you got, at her age, you got to give her a lot of credit.
Zero point zeros is what she was doing. She looked game ready for me. I'll tell you who else was game ready, Stretch. And you always bring a interesting slant. Sometimes you zig when we think you're going to zag. Let's start on the offense. And I know there's one aspect of this offense that kind of has your attention right now. And people on Twitter, they were like, oh my gosh, Stretch is going to be praising the Cowboys again. It's almost like they root against the Cowboys so they can hear you tee off on them. But there's one aspect, Stretch, of this offense that has really grabbed your attention, and you would like to maybe pass out some bon mots.
You know, during the holiday season, it's nice to be able to come on here and say positive things and be positive. You know, I think that's a good thing. I am starting with the offensive line. I think when this team started kind of coming on, I really, kind of, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks ago, I really felt like, okay, we're hammering Terrence Steele, who's a damn free agent out of Texas Tech. And then all of a sudden, you know, he's come to life. I mean, you watch him pull, he can flat run. I mean, he is very athletic. You see how this offensive line is playing. I think they're starting to gel as a unit. I'm almost scared to say that I'm going to jinx it, because when you look at how they're playing together, boy, I mean, I would hate to have any kind of nick or ding in this group, and I don't even want to jinx it that way. But right now, I believe they're playing as good as the quarterback is playing. We all want to. I get it. I mean, the quarterback gets the ball every time and the magnifying glass is on him. But the bottom line is his five up front are really getting it done. And I'm saying, from a pass protection standpoint, they're doing a great job. That you haven't seen them, you know, kind of not coordinated, turn a free rusher loose here, turn somebody loose there. They're always, and you can hear Dax obviously telling them where he wants to slide it. But I like the feel that this group has right now. I like the nastiness that they're playing with. I really like the cohesive unit that they are. And I think, you know, it really starts and goes when the offensive line goes for this team. And I'm ready for, you know, everybody wants to style point and wins and say, well, this was Washington who traded away their two best defensive linemen. They got two damn good interior defensive linemen. And, you know, to see what Dallas did to them and handled them, I'm ready to go to that next level. I'm ready to see them play Seattle. I'm ready for Philadelphia to come in here. I'm ready to kind of put that particular kind of argument to bed, because the offensive line is doing a hell of a job. And when you see how they're protecting, again, with those play actions and the things that Dak's able to do off the play actions, I like the time he's getting. And then I like the fact that McCarthy is recognized. He can't just run inside and outside zone. He's got to run some of that toss stuff. He's got to run that flip stuff. He's got to get Pollard and Dowdle on the edge. And they were able to do that, again, pulling both tackles and being able to do some things. So I really think that it's rubbing off. I mean, you see how the receivers are blocking down the field. I mean, that was a horseshit call today on CD Lamb. He cracked the crap out of that defensive end. That wasn't no damn holding. And so I think it rubs off on the rest of the football team. But right now, the job that Mike Solari has done, the offensive line coach, coming in here and taking over this offensive line and how they're progressing week to week, I think is phenomenal.
All right. That'll keep the fans excited. He's thrown out a horse ass. I would say that to back up your point, Stretch, the you know, like in space, Zach Martin just teed off on somebody that one time. Biotis got downfield on one touchdown, And then the one you're talking about, the Pollard touchdown run, that was Biotish and Tyler Smith, little double team action, and that was nice to watch. So the Cowboys went out and leaned on these Commanders. You know, Stretch, everybody always wants to hear your take on the quarterback. You know, some good, a lot of great, you know, really nice plays today, especially the, you know, Cooks ran that route. It was a beautiful route. He fooled that poor quarterback, thought he had a little help over the top, and looked like Cooks put a move on him. Dak certainly missed a couple of throws that he'd like to have back, but then he hit some throws, especially late in the game. What did you think of Dak's performance? Kind of to me, it felt like maybe a B-plus type effort.
Yeah, I mean, he's really good at throwing the ball in the seams. And I'm talking about, you know, kind of that five-yard outside the hash throw where he hit Ferguson. I mean, he hit one of them was dropped. You know, it was a tight area throw. Then he hit the touchdown to Turpin. He likes that throw a lot, and he can really drive and turn the nose of that ball in that seam throw. And those are good things. It concerns me that the deep ball that he missed, the two deep balls he missed early in the game. Now, you know, one of them it looked like CD kind of pulled up on, and you know, you got to get your receivers really knowing that, hey, man, I'm going to cut this thing loose and don't be afraid. You're not going to outrun my arm. And so having the confidence, I believe that, you know, will get corrected. And I'd like to see some better, more accurate throws outside the numbers on that deep ball like he does in those seam routes. But overall, he is, you can tell just how he comes to the line, how he's taking command of the offense. You got to give him a lot of credit for that. And you know, I think I've been critical of Dak at times, but right now he's playing really good football. But what I like above how he's playing is the fact that he's commanding control of the offense. And I think that's a very good thing. You know, the receivers, I mean, it's good to see Brandon Cook stay involved, Gallup. I mean, I like seeing – you know, I like seeing Brooks in the game. I like seeing Tolbert in the game. I love seeing Turpin. I like when you start rolling those guys in there, because all of a sudden with those fresh legs, you are going to have an ability to push the ball deep. And it doesn't just need to be CD and Cooks, Ferguson. You know, he's got a feel for all of those guys. And it feels like he's got and starting to develop a really good connection with Brandon Cooks. So, you know, I do the receivers and the quarterbacks together, giving them a B. I think the tight ends did a decent job today. And overall, I would give that group all together and give all them Bs. But I'm giving this offensive line an A, because I really feel like that's the difference in the direction that this offense is going right now.
All right. And, you know, Jalen Brooks, even as you said, when they rotate some of these young receivers in on a play that Washington actually looked like they're going to break up the pass, ball gets tipped. And Brooks is Johnny on the spot, makes a great, great catch. That was a nice play. Let's go over on the defensive side of the ball. You know, one of the things you've really liked is just the way they can rotate so many players in there. So many of these guys are a big part of the pass rush, and kind of a rare type thing happened. Now, Jonathan Hankins, once upon a time when he was with the Giants back of the day, I looked this up, Stretch, you'll be proud of me. Had a 7-sack season. But other than that, you know, that's really not been a huge part of his game. He's a run plugger, run defender. He had 2 sacks in this game. But and then Odigizuwa is a player you've brought up a lot. You know, had a huge play. He disrupted like on a 4th and short when the game was still somewhat close. Some really good things from that defensive line.
Yeah, Odigizuwa is a really big guy who can get lean and thin, and really, you know, when they run those, I mean, when Quinn calls those run stunts, I mean, he's very good at quickness with his hands, quickness getting to the point. And, you know, they take him out in those pass rush situations too. But I don't have any problem when you leave him in there, because he is a space eater, gets after it. It's still good to see Armstrong, Lawrence, Sam Williams, you know, Fowler. I mean, like I said, we just keep rolling guys in there. Mazi Smith is in there late in the game. I mean, you see Damone Clark. I mean, there's a lot of guys with this defense that, I mean, they're just calling names all over the place. And I like that Washington ran the ball a little bit again successfully on them, because I think that's something that Dallas is going to have to continue to work on. And especially, you know, if Bell, you know, has to be kind of that starting linebacker taking the place of Van Der Esch, his absence. So I think overall the Cowboys front seven is very physical. And if they get you in a passing situation, I mean, it is a feeding frenzy, and you see those guys pin their ears back and just get after the quarterback. And really, that's the name of the game. I mean, we can say what we want, and yeah, I don't like it sometimes when they run that crunch play. They, you know, kind of move the tight end, kick the defensive end out, and are able to run the ball in there for 8 or 9 yards. That gets a little frustrating. But what I do like is the patience of Dan Quinn. You know, Washington had a 15 play drive where the quarterback scored on that option. But I mean, it doesn't affect Quinn and how he calls a game. He just kind of stays in with what he does. And that front seven just keeps rolling in there and getting guys to the quarterback. So I think it, a lot of that starts to show, in these games late in the game. And then obviously, you know, we know that Bland, you know, sat on that out route and you know, Hal floated that ball out there, and good for Bland picking it off and going and scoring with it. I mean, that's a heck of a play. But I tell you something, I saw some things today out of Jordan Lewis that I like. I mean, he looks like he's kind of getting to the point where he's feeling good enough to, you know, stick his plant foot in the ground and go drive on the football. I see some things that, again, Curse, Wilson, Malik Hooker, those guys are so physical. And obviously, you know, Stephon is such a good – I think he's such a good technique player. You saw he kind of got beat on that stutter go, but you saw him make the ground up. Then you saw him split the guy's hands with his hand, and then you saw him tip the ball away. I mean, everything, it's like what he did once the guy got by him literally is a coaching clinic. Okay, put your head down, go make up that ground. Okay, he looks for his eyes widen to see the ball. You put your hand in between his hands, you turn your head, knock the ball away. I mean, it was a picture perfect thing to see. So I do. I just like what they do defensively. I mean, it is is really I think a lot of the things that they do are really technically sound, and they're sound because they're being coached well.
All right. And to your point with Curse missing that game, first game he's missed today, Wilson, Hooker, that Wanye Thomas, you're right. They just kind of they shuttle people in there. Oh, he was in there. He was in there as well. And interestingly, Stretch, to your point about the secondary, did you realize that Curtis Samuel is the first 100-yard receiver that against this defense the entire season? And that's the last defense in the NFL to have finally given up a 100-yard day. And let's not act like Samuel ate him alive or anything. Didn't really amount to much, but that just shows you the consistency they've had. And while they do give up some runs, you know, you don't see a lot of 100-yard or 100-yard running backs or 100-yard receivers against this unit.
Well, and again, what I want to continue to see is when, like today, when Curse is out, that they do still have really good run fits, because obviously, I mean, they're a man team, and those two safeties got to come downhill and make those plays. And so, again, whether they've got Mukuamu in there or whoever they decide to put in that safety position, I think, they're just continuing to get better and better and better, and your run fits are going to continue to get better. So, we got Seattle will come in here Thursday. They'll be a test, try to run the football, followed by Philadelphia, and we know what they're all about.
All right, Stretch, did you kind of like seeing them pull that turkey leg out of the foil. That was a plan type deal. They felt like they would do some scoring. Mike and Jerry signed off on that celebration. And then Dak was eating the turkey on the sideline. Is that, were you okay with that? Up 38-10, having some turkey on the sideline?
Not really, Mosley. Thought it was kind of Rudy Poo-Butt, to be honest with you. But, you know, I mean, everybody's kind of got a way that they need to celebrate. And if that's, you know, if that's what they felt like they needed to do was, you know, bring attention to the Red Kettle campaign and jump in there and pull out a turkey leg. I've seen you have one of those at the state fair. So, you know, nothing wrong with that.
What'd you have tonight out at out in Parker County? What was kind of the main, what was the big ticket, would you say?
Well, you know, the thing was, is mom threw a little curveball this year. She went, she cooked a traditional dressing. You know, we had cranberry sauce. She had all those twice baked potatoes and all that. And then Mosley, she went a little country on them with the chicken fried steak. Homemade chicken fried steak. Partner, it was a big ticket.
I bet she kind of beat that thing down a little bit, battered it just right, and that breaded, the tenderness, you got to have that tenderness. Wow, that almost makes me want to drive out there this evening. I'm in Arlington right now at AT&T Stadium, could probably be there in about 25 to 30 minutes. So
come on, Mosley, I'll make sure we get you one on the grill.
See if you can put a plate out there for me. Somebody was asking me if I was joking about Ed not inviting me over, and they were concerned on Twitter if Ed had invited me over to Thanksgiving dinner last night with him. I said, heck no, he didn't invite me. Stretch, always appreciate you, and have a blessed holiday. And Chris Gross and I and Ed, we really are thankful and grateful for your involvement in the Doomsday Podcast.
Hey, I appreciate you and Chris and obviously everybody and all our listeners out there who dial into us mostly. Happy Thanksgiving to all them. Happy Thanksgiving to you. It's fun to end it on a positive note instead of telling you what a mutt you are. So have yourself a good day.
All my best. And that is Stretch Plays on the Doomsday Podcast. And, Ed, always good to kind of see what the Stretch family is up to out there for their Thanksgiving. I don't know what kind of your
– I guess we gave the Doomsday Censor the holiday off.
Yeah, we have Chris Gross is a guy that's connected. He's a very spiritual man, much like myself. And so I think he was wanting to maybe bleep some things out, but we need to let Stretch be Stretch. And some of the same things that can get you banned on Ed's Twitter list, we're going to allow tonight. All right. Thanksgiving. Ed's been known to ban some folks. Okay, Ed, another runaway game. I mean, I think next Thursday we can keep saying, oh, they beat a bad team. They beat a bad team. I mean, obviously you got Eagles coming up. That'll be a really good team. And some people think that's the best team in the NFL right now.
Including Jerry.
And so that'll be interesting. But, I mean, I think this kind of works out perfectly because you play Seattle, a kind of like mediocre, but I guess you could argue it's the best team you've – I mean, you have the chance to get your best victory of the year against Seattle before you get ready to play.
In terms of quality opponents.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
And I think we've said, you know, they know how to play Philadelphia. They're comfortable matching up with Philadelphia, especially, you know, at home. I mean, they almost beat Philadelphia up there. They had a chance. Dak had the ball in his hands in scoring position at the end of the game, and they couldn't pull it off because they had a couple penalties, and he took a bad sack, and maybe they mismanaged their best opportunity to win that game. But they beat the Eagles, this version of the Eagles. I don't think they fear the Eagles, even though the Eagles are 9-1. If they don't win that game, there's virtually no chance they're going to win the division. And then you're stuck being a wild card and facing the prospects of playing, you know, all your games away from home, where the Cowboys so far have taken all of their losses. All three of their losses have come on the road, and they've been a rather mediocre team. They're, 3-3 on the road? So they need to try to get as many games here as they possibly can. And, you know, to the point about Dak, and attacking Washington today right away, vertical passes twice in the first series. He averaged a career high 13.9 air yards per attempt in this game. Went 8-for-14 for 213 yards, 3 touchdowns, throwing the ball 15 or more yards in the air down the field. That ties for the most such touchdowns in a game in his career. But again, nearly 14 yards per attempt, the best of his career. And I think the other encouraging thing as you're going into this stretch of games is that they've had some consistency on the offensive line finally. And Tyron Smith and Tyler Smith playing next together are just unbelievably good. In fact, Dak was only pressured 18% of the time in this game. That's a season low. And beyond that, he's thrown 111 consecutive passes, including scrambles, since he was last sacked. That's the longest streak in the NFL right now and the longest streak of Dak's career. The last time he was sacked on that ill-fated third-to-last play of the game against the Eagles when they lost in Week 9, that situation I just referenced that they botched that gave them a chance to win the game that they threw away.
Yeah.
Well, the cleaning staff is now in
there.
No,
it's okay.
We work through that.
If you're gonna be in a luxury suite, some point they're gonna kind of clean it up. And we again appreciate Jim Nation family, Jim and Sally Nation. Their family had a Thanksgiving celebration in here earlier, and then I visited with them and said, "Hey, are we good tonight?" And they said, "Come on, nice. Order in Mosley." The Doomsday Podcast. So we love the Nations and appreciate them, and they're huge. They've done like all the refrigeration for the entire stadium, so it's kind of a cool thing. But one thing I wanted to bring up defensively for the Cowboys, Hankins with 2 sacks. Jonathan Hankins, of all people,
they acquired him to stop the run
plugger and run stuffer. And I did look back, Ed, I thought you'd appreciate me kind of doing some research on Jonathan Hankins. And he did have a season with the Giants where he had a 7-sack season, if you can imagine it, like in his second or third year in the league. And but I think this gets him up to about 16 sacks for his career.
Has he ever had a multiple sack game like he had today? Do you know that?
I looked. And I was having to go game by game, and I got tired of that at some point.
Well, I don't want to criticize the research you did. I appreciate that.
But I think I would think you have to go back to 2014 to have a chance at, because he had 7 sacks that season.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's got he came in with 14.5. I think he had 2 today, so 16.5. They continue. I mean, the pass rush.
Well, we should mention Micah's achievement. Micah Parsons.
Okay.
He had 1.5 sacks, so that gives him 11.5 this year, which means he's had at least 11.5 each of his first 3 years, and only one other player in NFL history has done that. Do you know who it is?
Okay, say that again, though. He's had
only
every
one player in NFL history has done what Micah has in terms of starting your career and having at least 11.5 sacks in each of your first 3 seasons.
Okay.
It's the best of the best that he's okay. matched.
I would guess Reggie White.
You are on it.
Yes.
That is correct.
But I mean, I you were building to something, and I just felt like that's a level of greatness above almost any pass rusher of all time. You know, Reggie was the first, like, post – They just didn't even do sacks when Harvey was doing all his
1982.
Stuff. Yeah. And so even like Ed Jones, Harvey, and those people for the Cowboys that were doing huge sacks. I mean, yeah, you can go back and find their numbers, but it's a little bit kind of interesting to do that. But Reggie was like the sack monster. And then, of course, you know, after that, I would say Gastineau, Haley came along, you know, you just had guys that started putting up huge numbers, and that would ultimately get to Strahan. Yeah, Dolman certainly. Strahan had the huge, although I never did, you know, Favre helped him on one, as I recall.
That's and, what Favre does. He helps people.
Well, helps himself, quite honestly.
Stop it.
Yes, the folks.
Those are just allegations.
Okay. Oh, well, I think we've proved some of that. I did want to say real quick, Ed. Hudson Financial Group.com is where you can find him. Randy Hudson and his family.
We got wealth managers on this supporting the show. We got custom home builders supporting the show.
Luxury home builders. But Randy has, it's just 1988. He was a guard for Corky Nelson at University of North Texas in the 80s. And he was good. He was a heck of a player. And now he's helping them, NIL, collectives. He's right in the middle of it. They focus on, and they have UT and alumni in all 50 states, and they handle a lot of those clients. So if you went to UNT and you want somebody you trust to take care of you, both like home, auto, life insurance, all of that is great. And one of the great things they do, they reduce taxes. And then business owners and entrepreneurs, generally, you know, some of these folks will make a lot of money. Well, a lot of them want to find a way to keep it and keep their liability in control, keep that situation under control. And that's what Hudson Financial Group does. And go to HudsonFinancialGroup.com, Heath, Texas, right out there, kind of outskirts of Rockwall, looking out over that lake. You've been over that lake.
I've been to Rockwall, before, yeah.
Yeah. Love eating out there, like just kind of sitting there at Gloria's or wherever on that lake. But Hudson Financial Group, great sponsors, great friends. Ross is a good friend of the show. Appreciate the Hudson family, everything they do. Cowboys improve, Ed, to 8-3. It's a wonderful Thanksgiving. The greatest night of Jerry's life, apparently. Ed, I did at some point, I think you had moved on to, actually, you were the one person that went to see what McCarthy had to say. I asked Jerry, I think in an appropriate manner, of like how impressive, you know, that was 77 to put on a Cowboys. And I did not want to ask it in a weird way, like I'm setting him up to make a old man, you know, creepy old man comment. And so I think I asked it appropriately, but basically, like, pretty amazing that to perform like that, and just Dolly, how awesome she is and everything about her. And he goes into when he first heard about her, when his parents used to see her, and before she was even named Dolly Parton, that they used to know her as the whatever singers, you know, like whatever her family. I mean, she came from, you know, nothing, basically. I mean, she's an amazing story. But of course, as only Jerry could, at some point he goes, but I knew her for some other stuff or something. I'm like, okay, let's. I was even like, what to give him the stop sign.
I withdraw my question,
like,
sir.
Like, I'm not trying to lead you down some weird path here. I just thought it was kind of remarkable.
Okay, but, you're talking about how you have to carefully phrase things. Mm-hmm. Well, some people don't carefully phrase things. Yeah. And in Mike McCarthy's poorly attended press conference, you need to check my Twitter feed, because I went to Jerry's thing, as you said, and he was mobbed. It was quite a scene outside the locker room. A number of media people and cameras there for Jerry. Then I walked into McCarthy's press conference, and almost all the seats were empty. And I did a side-by-side posting of the two pictures. But anyway, so I'm in McCarthy's press conference, and he's fielded a lot of questions on a lot of different topics. And as this thing is winding down, Clarence Hill from the Fort Worth Star-Telegram says to McCarthy, well, let's talk about the elephant in the room. You. And what he meant was, let's talk about your contribution to what this offense is doing and what Dak's accomplishing. And Mike handled it just beautifully. I mean, he has a great understated sense of humor. And to his credit, McCarthy kind of laughed it off, and he goes, well, you know, Clarence, it's a stressful job I have. You don't put on a few pounds in the winter. You know? I thought it was better than the Dolly concert myself. But McCarthy's handling of that with humor was just so wonderful to watch.
Nice.
Yeah, it was great.
Nice.
It was a great moment.
I'm going to go back and, I mean, I generally don't go back and look at McCarthy news conferences, but I think
it's at the very end.
By the way, if you're talking about poorly phrased questions, I don't know. You're not shocking me with who you brought up. All right. It is the Doomsday Podcast.
And yeah. Before we sign off, to Clarence's credit, he noted this to everyone. He's like, I got a good answer. You know, and he did. McCarthy good. McCarthy gave him a good answer, but it was just an awkward, insulting beginning. Like, if you said that to Belichick, I don't know what the consequences might have been.
Yeah, yeah.
If you'd have insulted, potentially insulted, even if you didn't mean to, and Clarence didn't mean to insult McCarthy, but it was just the way he praised the whole thing. But it was a great moment.
Mike handled it well. Everybody's happy. It's Thanksgiving. Now, when you and Jill, you know, you're a guy that you love to go out to eat. You do appreciate a great restaurant. But Jill is someone who can prepare a very nice meal. From what I've always wanted to come over, but I've heard great things over the years. Like, I think y'all kind of do a Wednesday evening type get together.
We moved it around, you know, various, depending what's on kind what of my
the,
role was.
What's the big player? What's so the big? What's,
Jill makes the big turkey.
Okay.
Great whipped potatoes and gravy, homemade gravy. Yeah. And, you know, we get cream corn from Babe's, the country fried chicken place.
Yeah.
But she does, and she makes pies, pumpkin, and chocolate.
Nice. Yeah.
But this year, quite honestly, Jill 2 weeks ago had her left knee replaced.
Yeah.
And
that's tough. Yeah.
I insisted, as I've tried many times over the years, it's just the three of us and our daughter. We don't really need to do well. Let's just go out. Let's just go have something nice at Capitol Grill. Who cares if it's turkey? But she's always insisted. This time, though, we convinced her to let us just bring it in. And so we did it that way. And quite honestly, it was a big fail. Jill still baked her pies and did some of the side dishes, but didn't make the turkey. She makes a great turkey. I love having leftover turkey sandwiches.
Yeah.
But we compromised this year because of her health situation.
Yeah. All right. Well, Jill.
So that's why we didn't have you over.
Yeah. Well, I know.
We only want you to come over when we're having the best of the best.
Just the top shelf.
Yeah.
For Mosley. I hope she at least at some point during the meal is like, hey, Ed, what's Matt up to? I hope that. I'm sure that happened. It is Mosley and Werder. We are staring down at an empty AT&T stadium. Cowboys with another win. They get to 8-3. And quite honestly, if they could win these next two home games and get to 10-3, and, you know, they almost got a little help the other night from the Chiefs, didn't quite get it. But even if the Eagles, that was the Eagles, the one that made them, what, 10-2?
9-1. They're 9-1,
so that would mean they could be 10-1. Yeah.
So they play Buffalo
on
Sunday.
And who knows what could Buffalo's what could
good enough to beat them.
They are. So it would be very interesting if the Cowboys could take care of the next 2 weeks. And then we'd have quite a race on our hands. If the Cowboys lose
the Eagles, division race is over.
Yes.
Assuming Philadelphia doesn't lose between now and then.
All right. Wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to our listeners out there, far north Dallas. But we're in Arlington.
Yeah.
Wonderful holiday.
There are people all over the world that listen to us.
Aren't you glad to document the greatest football day in Jerry's life? Honestly, I thought I did that in the 90s, but apparently not.
We didn't know we were coming to something bigger than those Super Bowls. Yeah, you thought you had seen it all. You hadn't. Forget about the triplets. Tonight, you had Deron Bland jumping into a red kettle. Oh, man. Thanks to the Legends Hospitality. They're the ones who provided the turkey legs that they put in those kettles. Yeah.
Well, we missed Zeke. We had to have something to do with the kettles. I mean, Zeke.
Is Zeke still with the Patriots?
Yeah, he's still with the Patriots.
He's still with
us?
They
don't score any points, but he's still there. His career continues.
he continues on feebly.
They're 2-8. Belichick's are 2-8.
They're just running out the string. Okay, next Thursday night, we'll have another Doomsday podcast.
I'll be here all day.
We appreciate it. Chris Gross, tremendous job. Tremendous job.
You are still there, right, Chris?
On a holiday. Chris left us about an hour ago.
He hit record.
He's like having some late night leftovers with his family. Appreciate Chris Gross. And seems like everybody involved with this podcast right now went to TCU. That's not something I was looking to do, but they are good people. All right. For Ed Werder, I'm Matt Mosley and Chris Gross. Good night. From Arlington, Texas.
Justin and so good. thousands of spring deals at your Nordstrom Rack store. Save big today on new arrivals from Kate Spade New York, Nike, Sam Edelman, Free People, and Madewell, starting at only $30. Great brands and great prices on dresses, denim, sandals, designer bags, and more. So rack your look and get first dibs on spring styles you want now from just $30 at your Nordstrom Rack store. What will you find?
A lot can happen between falling in love with a house online and owning it, between imagining living there and breathing in your new home for the first time. Having an advocate who can help you navigate the complex world of financing, inspections, negotiating, analyzing the market, and talking through any anxieties that may pop up, that can make all the difference. That's what the expertise of a Realtor can do for you. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors and bound by a code of ethics, because that's who we are.